May we open our Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Turn first to verse 6 and 7, and then verse 13. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And then verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I have felt led this morning to delay the message that I had arranged on the Fifth Commandment. This past week in the life of our church has been an outstanding week, and on four of the days of this week, Dr. Rister and I conducted the funeral services of four of the saints of this church on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Three of those services were held here in the church, and they were in testimony to our Lord. And those who have been taken from us are people who have been with us for a long, long time. Mrs. George L. Rogers, Mrs. Minnie Rogers, who was in charge of our Every Member Canvas dinners for so many years. Mrs. May Ansley, Mrs. Claude Ansley, the wife of one of the elders of our church. And they've been here some 40 years. And then Mrs. Anna L. Wood, who lives on Park Avenue here in Collingswood. Anna L. Hood, it is. And then finally, Mrs. Jane Chamberlain, Mrs. William A. Chamberlain, who was the wife of the senior elder of our church so many years, Dr. Chamberlain. They were among the founders of this church. And I have felt that it would be of comfort to us all as a church, and also that it would be a blessing to all of us, especially some of our young people, if the pastor of the church took one of these great texts out of the Scripture and just discuss with you the mighty teachings of the Word of God concerning our past and our home going. We all understand it. We all believe it. But we take it piecemeal here and there. And we don't bring it just all together in one short summary and statement so that we will have the blessed comfort of it. And so I want to take this text, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, for they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Easter is just before us. 3 weeks from today will be Easter Sunday, when the whole Christian world will celebrate in a special way the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But every one of us knows that we're on a journey. We all recognize that sooner or later that moment will come when we too shall pass over to the other side. And every one of us should understand exactly what it is, exactly what is involved, and every one of us should see this as clearly as we know anything else in life itself. And furthermore, this whole question of death is of such a nature that it comes upon us so unexpectedly, even cutting down little children and young people and taking others off in calamities and accidents. And we have to be ready for it. We have to be prepared to leave without notice. And in view of all that the Bible teaches to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, this text which I've taken this morning summarizes it all for us in such a beautiful way. I know that there is a tendency on the part of a lot of people that this is a subject that you just don't talk about, because if you do, it might make somebody feel bad. No, beloved, this is not an untouchable subject for a Christian. This is a subject which every man, woman, and child who knows his Lord Jesus Christ understands and isn't afraid to bear testimony to. We believe that when we die, we're going to see Jesus Christ. And what greater triumph, what greater victory, what greater justification can we have than to know that in that moment when we take leave of this earth and say goodbye to things down here, we're going to be welcomed by the Son of God into our heavenly home. We're not ashamed to talk about it. It's something we sing about. We're not ashamed to tell what the Bible gives us in this particular realm, because if the smallest girl understands what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for her, she will be able to sing His name and to rejoice in the everlasting life which the Father hath given unto us in Jesus Christ. And the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a deliverance from death. The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing to men the offer of eternal redemption and of salvation from sin and from death. Now, it's very interesting to notice the way in which this text of ours is phrased. It doesn't say, "Blessed are the dead." No, it does not say that at all. It does not say, "Blessed are the dead who die." Because that's what death is. It does not say that at all. It says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." And if you're going to understand this whole question of death and eternity, you can understand it only as we look at this statement, "in the Lord." As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it as plain and as clear as anything that there's a curse resting upon nature, there's a curse resting upon man, and that the wages of sin is death, and that the curse of God upon the race is the experience of death. And death has been brought upon this human race because of our sin, and only because of our sin. It is indeed the wages of sin. And if we're going to deal with the question of death, we've got to deal with sin. If we're going to deal with this curse that rests upon mankind, we've got to deal with the sin problem as it is in the heart of man, as it brings man down to the grave. And God Almighty is the only one who has dealt with that question for us. And He dealt with that question for us when He sent His only begotten Son to die in our stead and to bear the curse which we merited upon Himself and in His death upon that tree. And beloved, as we stand here in the presence of this marvelous text, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord," there is the corollary that runs throughout the whole Scripture. Cursed are the dead who die outside of the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, "If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And we must come to this Christ who died for sin if we're going to have an answer to the question of death. And here you have the great dividing line between that portion of humanity upon which there is the blessing and that portion of humanity upon which there is the curse. And the great divider, the great one who makes the distinction, who takes the curse off and pronounces the blessing upon, that one is Jesus Christ, who entered into the tomb and came out of death the victor, and who has tasted death for every man. Consequently, when we come to a text like this just now, in which the message from heaven says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord," our thought is not so much of the dead as it is of Him who hath delivered them and hath given unto them the benediction of heaven. There's no reason why a Christian shouldn't understand these matters. When you turn over to the New Testament and you hear the apostle speaking to the Christians there in Thessalonica, we know that blessed passage in the 4th chapter of the 1st epistle. The apostle says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. If there's one place where the Bible wants God's people to understand and to have knowledge, it's right here in this matter of sin and death and hell and heaven. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning what has happened to those who passed away and have left us. And then he proceeds to give us some of these glorious details. And as he gives us the details of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the raising of the dead, he has that glorious statement, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. As a matter of fact, unless you're related to Christ, unless you belong to Christ, unless you're in Christ, unless you're with the Lord, beloved, you have no hope and there is no deliverance. Everything is in this Blessed One, the Lamb of God who came to die for you and to make possible your deliverance and to give unto you the pardon of your sins and to offer unto you the gift of everlasting life. Now let's take just a moment and look into this text and see what it has to say about the blessings that belong to the dead who are in the Lord. What could possibly be the blessing? He says, blessed are the dead. What is it that he's speaking of here? Well, it's very plain if you look at the text. There are three things that he points out. First, he says, you're in the Lord. Second, he says, you rest from your labor. Third, he says, you're going to receive your rewards when you get to heaven. Those three things are in this text just as clearly as anything can be. Let's look at the first one. The Bible teaches you and me that this one who died for us and whom we're seeking to serve every day that we live is the one whom we shall see. We shall see his face. And it's right at this point that the fullness of Jesus Christ comes to us in this rich blessing. No wonder. I can understand what the apostle meant. I can understand as I read the Bible. The apostle says to me, to live is Christ. Yes, that's glorious, but to die is gain. I'll see him. You can understand what the apostle means when he says, oh, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He's going to be with him, and it's far better. You can understand it. And the blessing and the benediction upon the dead is that the dead go in Christ to be with Christ. Now, at that point, you come face to face with certain great realities that are given to us in the Bible. And the first of these great realities is that the decision concerning your relationship to Christ must be made now in this life and not after death. Because the decision as to whether you're going to see him is made while you're right here now and while you're in a position to turn from your sin and to look to the gospel and be saved by faith. In other words, there is no second chance after death. There is nothing in this Bible that justifies the idea that after you leave this life, if you haven't believed in Christ, you will have a second chance. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And it's right here and now that this mighty, the greatest decision that any man has to make, that you will come and put your faith in Jesus Christ. That decision has to be made in this life. Sometime, since you have been able to understand, until that day when you take leave of this earth on which we dwell, you must answer that great question, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him? Will you reject him? If you listen to the gospel and you accept him, then he will give to you this glorious pardon for your sin because he died for it. He will give to you this miracle of the new birth because he has the power to do it. And he will give to you himself. And he is the one who says to you, once you have put your faith in him and once he has taken your hand to lead you, he's the one who says unto you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized it, and you can hear him as he walked along the shores of Galilee, and he said, what should it profit a man? What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you do with Jesus? How will you treat your soul? Will you come and believe that God sent his Son to die for your sins? And will you come and believe that God raised him from the dead? Oh, when you stand at this particular juncture in this text and you look to Jesus Christ, beloved, I say to you, we do not serve a dead Christ. If we did, we'd all be dead. We serve a living Christ. And he's the one who said, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, beloved, we do not serve a Christ who hangs on a cross. We do not look to a cross with a picture of a crucifix or something upon it. No, that is not our faith, and that is not the goal of our sight. We look to a living Christ who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that we can see the nail prints in his hands, but, beloved, he's long since been taken down from the cross. He's long since been raised from the dead for our complete and full justification. We serve a living Christ. We think of him as alive. We pray to him as alive. We anticipate his return in the clouds of heaven as alive. We want no other Christ. We want to have nothing to do with any other Jesus than this one who today is interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. It's too late, beloved, to decide whether you're in the Lord after you're dead. The time to decide whether you're in the Lord is here and now, while the gospel is being offered to you, that you might believe it. But this text continues in the second place, and it says, they do rest from their labor. My, I like that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just rest a while? They do rest from their labor. And what are their labors? The struggles we have in this world of sin. The struggles we have in the battle for our saints. The tribulations and persecutions that come upon us. We're struggling. And all our struggles, we of course are looking to Jesus Christ. But beloved, when that moment comes and he issues the summons and he says, come up hither, and you go, then you've entered into the presence of heaven itself, into a holy and a new city, and there is no sin there. There is no death there. There is no disappointment there. There are no tears there. Oh, to be delivered from a realm where sin reigns into a realm where there is no sin. That is a blessing, and that is a benediction. And that's what this text means. And so our shorter catechism says, the souls of believers at death are made perfect in holiness and do go immediately to be with the Lord. And beloved, your holiness, your sanctification in the presence of God is a work of His grace to you, and it's not something that you have earned and something that you have done. I want to tell you, as I expound this text to you this morning in the light of all that the Bible tells you, you can't speak about a single element of it, a single point of it, a single place of it. It makes no difference where you look at this text. You run into Jesus Christ because He's there. And He's the one who gave unto you and me that complete and full justification, and we have peace with our God. They do rest from their labors. They do rest from their labors. Beloved, there's not going to be any rest, so don't look forward to it until you leave and go home. Then you'll have it, and it'll be a benediction. There's no discharge. The devil's always at it. Satan has his legions. He has his imps. He has his darts. He's always coming at it. And you still have a little of the old man left in you, and he finds a comfort in that old man. But, oh, beloved, for that day when you shall be delivered of it, and this mortality of ours shall be swallowed up of immortality, and we shall see Jesus. That is a blessing. But there's still a third matter in this text. And their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. You know, we're so interested in preaching the gospel and getting people saved, and we say we're not saved by works, that I don't think we emphasize the importance of works or the place of works as we ought to in the life of the believer. You can't take anything with you. You can't take your farm. You can't take your car. I don't know what I'd do with my car in heaven. No filling stations up there. You can't take anything with you. How in the world would you take your electric washer up there? Would you kindly tell me? What would you do with it? You go off and you leave absolutely everything behind. Everything that you and I deal with down here in this life, we go off and we leave it, and we leave it so quickly and so silently, we don't even have any court battles over. We leave the courts behind. We leave everything behind and we go. Well, what is there then that we could possibly take with us that we might have something when we get into the presence of our Redeemer? The answer is that if any man's fruit or labor abide, he shall receive a reward. The answer is that what you do in this life, in the service of Jesus Christ, what you do in this life, in the promotion of the gospel of the Son of God, what you do in this life, in winning men to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that will follow you. It doesn't go before you. There's nobody ahead of you except Jesus. There's nobody to open the way but Jesus. There's nobody to take away all the fears but Jesus. But once He brings you into His presence, here you come. And their works do follow them. The works which they wrought by love of the Son of God. The works which they built down here in order that men might honor the commandments of our God and be faithful to His name. These things will follow you. And that's what Jesus Christ meant when He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Look at them. The moths will get them. The rust will get them. The thieves will break through and steal. He knew too well the conditions of this land with its curse. But He says, will you just lay up yourselves treasures in heaven? Put your heart in heaven. Build the things of the kingdom of God. Take the strength of your youth and all that you have and give it to me, and let me use it in the preaching and the building of a testimony to Jesus Christ. That'll follow you. That'll follow you. Oh, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the stars forever and ever. The time to think about these things which are going to follow you is now. Oh, you can understand what the apostle said, you know. There's some who are going to be saved as by fire. Their works are all lost. They're built on disobedience and expedience. Some are going to be saved by the skin of their teeth. They'll get through, but there'll be no works following them. There'll be no rewards for them when they reach the other side. And oh, beloved, in that great day, Jesus Christ said, "He who will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he who will deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." And what you and I want to do when we come, oh, you'll look at this life and I think of these four saints who left us. They were all up in years, you know. They'd lived their lives. But think of the things that they carried with them, the labors which are following them as they've gone into the presence of Jesus Christ. And when we see the older ones go, we say they lived their life, of course. But what did they have to lay down as trophies at the feet of the Son of God who redeemed them? That's your question today. Now, of course, when you speak about blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yes, that applies to the little baby that's taken too. And that applies to the young girl in her teens that's taken too. And that applies to the young preacher in his 40s that's taken too. And when you look at these developments in the blessed providences of God and you see all that the Bible says about blessed, it all applies. But you look at the little babe and you wonder, well, I wonder why the Lord did this. You look at the girl and you say, I wonder why. You look at the young man and you say, I wonder why. No, beloved, it's not for us to ask God why. And that's where we stop, in the presence of the fact that he's the one who gives the life. He's the one who can take it in his own time. And he is the sovereign of life. And he is the one who has given in Jesus Christ the key to the door of death. And so the Son of God is the one who opens that door with his key and says, little one, I want you. He says to the young girl, I want you. He says to the young preacher, I want you. He is the one who makes this great decision for us along life's way. And we turn and we bow in the presence of him and we are thrown back again upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you when I started this message, that no matter where you looked at this text, no matter what part of this text you turn to look at it, you run into Jesus Christ. He's there. He's the one who dealt with sin for us. He's the one who was raised from the dead for us. He's the one who receives us into heaven that we might behold his glory. Everywhere you turn, it is Jesus Christ. And that's why the apostle said, not I, not I, but Christ. Here's a text over in the second chapter of Hebrews, in the 15th verse, where the apostle speaks about those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Think of the world in its fear, darkness. Here they are in their slavery, working out their redemption, doing their good works, paying their fees, making all the ordinances that are being required in these pagan religions. And the apostle says, who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. But no, beloved, the fear of it's gone from us. We know what that door has on the other side of it because Jesus went through it and he came back and told us. And there is no doubt about what he's told us. And consequently, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has lost his fear of death. You should lose it if you have it. You should get rid of it if you have it. If there's any question in your mind, you ought to get rid of it. Why, it's the most glorious thing in the world to look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus and going home to be with him and the great number that are on the other side. What a marvelous victory it is. And beloved, it's been the Christian faith that gave to our forefathers the belief that they would see Jesus, that when they threw them to the lion's den in Rome, they knew that they would see Jesus. And it's the young Christian man who believes that he's going to see his God who will go out in the armies of his country and fight for freedom and die in great heroic deeds and go into the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, if the Lord doesn't come pretty soon, and we're all looking for Him to come, we're all going to have our turn to go through the door. Every one of us will have our turn. And this past week, your pastor stood here. Three of these funeral services were held in the church. And I'm so glad that so many of you want to do it, have the service in the church. That's where it should be. Our babies are baptized here. We marry our children here. We have our communion here. You hear the gospel preached from this pulpit. And the last place I want to be on the face of this earth before you lay my body away is in the house of God. That the message can be preached. And here we stood. And here we stand. And beloved, I tell you, dear saints listening to me just now, thank God that this is the victory that overcomes this world. It's our faith in Jesus Christ, and He's taken away from us the fear of death. And when He takes away the fear of death, He also takes away the fear of man, which bringeth a snare. And you desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life. And I heard a voice from heaven say unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, for they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow. Oh, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, it's the rewards of heaven, the works which will follow us. And you young people, you young couples, you young families that are rearing your children, look at this. See the span of it. See the reality of it. See the glory of what Jesus Christ does for us. And take everything that you have and serve Jesus Christ every day that you live. Those of you who may be listening who are not in Christ, remember, He invites you to come. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, accept Him. It is your decision, and He will give you the grace and the faith to make it. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee that this is the message of comfort to us. And oh, how we thank Thee that it's so plain in the Bible. That this great salvation is by faith. Once we believe, the great transaction is accomplished. And we're saved forevermore. God, comfort us now. Bless the gospel as it's been preached. And may we understand these things as a church as we haven't understood them quite before. And may we enter into the joys of our Lord. For Christ's sake, amen. Now let's turn, please, to hymn number 522.